Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at CitibankOnline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. On today's edition of our program, it's part two of our interviews leading up to the scholarship concert from the Texas Tech University School of Music that's taking place this weekend. Stay tuned for all the details. On today's edition of The Front Row, we are in the studio of Dr. William Westney at the Texas Tech University School of Music, where he is the Ava Browning Artist in Residence. He's professor of music and a Paul Whitfield Horn professor here at Texas Tech. Dr. Westney, thanks for inviting us into your studio.
Great to see you, Clint, as always.
Great. Coming up this Saturday evening is the annual scholarship concert for the School of Music. It's going to be at Broadway Church of Christ on Saturday evening. And one of the big pieces is the second of the four Rachmaninoff piano concertos, which you will be playing, the concerto in C minor, opus 18. And if you would tell us just a little bit about your history with this concerto.
Well, first, as a listener, I think it's one of those pieces that the first time you hear it, see if you agree with this, you feel like you understand it completely on first hearing, and it seems inevitable, like everything that happens in that piece just had to be that way. And it makes such an impact on you. It's so thrilling. And the thrilling nature of it never fades over time. To me, it's the best of his piano concertos. It's the one of the real pinnacles of, piano repertoire. Why do I say that? Just because of the emotionally charged and transporting impact that it has, and the thrill of how the orchestra and the piano interact. I have played it before with orchestra, but it's probably been 30 years since I've done that. So to come back to it is really meaningful for me, and I'm so appreciative of the opportunity to play it on this great occasion.
Right. I love what you said about how this piece just makes sense, and it's written like it just has to be the way it is. And I think that to a large extent, that's why this piece is so successful and so famous with both professional musicians and lay people.
I mean,
everybody loves this concerto.
Everybody loves it, and if I mention to people that I'm going to play it, they get this look like, oh my God. I mean, and for a good reason. It's just this kind of a piece, and I was thinking that great classical pieces like this were once so much a part of our culture that they made popular songs out of them. And one of them was made out of this, Full Moon and Empty Arms. I don't know all the words to it, but I guess that would be in the 40s or something that all these things happened. So it's as you say, everyone loves it and everyone knows it. And one of the thrills for me is that the way I was taught to play concertos way back when I got started with this stuff, it's really sort of like the pianist is the protagonist in this drama. You're not opposed to the orchestra, but you're vying with the orchestra in a fascinating way all the time. And so the orchestration is powerful, but you get your moments to emerge and say what you want to say. And there are these indescribable parts to this piece that we just live for as pianists, where the orchestra swells in this great wave of sound, and you just feel like you're literally riding the crest of this sonic wave. It's just, I cannot describe how incredible that is.
I guess part of the thing about the Rachmaninoff concertos is that Rachmaninoff was himself a great pianist.
Yes.
And so he writes just with incredible ease for the piano, and it's very gratifying for other pianists to play just sensorially. It's very gratifying. But he was also a great composer orchestrally, and so there's a wonderful, you know, there's solos in the orchestra, and this, as you say, this great synergy between piano and orchestra just all comes together.
Well, what you say is true, Clint, except I do have to differ with one thing. Rachmaninoff was a great pianist who wrote kind of for his own hands, and they were not normal, not normal hands. He could span notes that none of us regular mortals can do. And so, there's a lot of little adjustments and negotiations you have to make as a mere mortal to try to play what Rachmaninoff. I mean, you're right, but there's that little bit of an edit, I have to say. So this will be, as I know you're making clear to the listeners, for the scholarship concert, and it's a wonderful cause. We wouldn't have the outstanding, solid, wonderful School of Music that we've had for so long here at Texas Tech if we didn't have substantial talent-based scholarships to offer, you know, gifted music students to come here from all over the country and really the world. So that's it's a great opportunity for people to support that and keep this wonderful school flourishing here in town.
Right. So you will bring a lot of experience to this concert, and you've been here a while, and you've made it all the way up to full professor and all those things, but you'll be working with Philip Mann, who is actually in his first year as director of choral studies.
Right.
So how has that been?
Well, we haven't rehearsed yet, and probably will not have by the time you air this. But I'm very excited about it because I saw Philip's audition here, his interview for the job. I just happened to be free and popped into the hall when he was working with the orchestra, and it was so great. I mean, you know, what he was able to elicit from them, and the concerts I've seen have been like that too. So I'm anticipating a very dynamic and fluid partnership with Philip. I think it's going to be great.
Right. So this concerto, I mean, it's one of the ones that I certainly love as well. It has a wonderful opening.
Mm.
Piano all by itself.
Right.
Very quiet. I'm trying to think if there's other concertos that sort of begin that way. But that's really sort of unique opening.
The Beethoven Fourth, it also starts quietly. In a very different feeling, of course, just with the piano. But yes, it's a very creative and so effective way to start. Because you're right. I mean, the minute you hear those few chords, you're sucked in. And I wonder what's going to unfold from this.
That's right. And it's fascinating to me that the concerto begins very quietly with these very mysterious sort of chords, but then, of course, erupts into this big Russian romantic passion that you were describing.
Well, and I don't know if my history is correct on this, but the lore that I remember reading about was that Rachmaninoff was a complex man who had to seek psychotherapy in the somewhat early days of psychotherapy. And I think he was despairing that his composing career was not going to succeed, or there were other things that he was deeply troubled about. And I think as part of the therapy, or just as on the heels of some successful therapy, he wrote this piece. I mean, there was some kind of a process that went on that when it opened up, this was the result. And really, isn't that amazing to think about, if that's true, that you know, when people never know, you know, this to make it sound a little bit almost trivial, but people never know what they have inside.
Right, right.
And because I think this is his best thing.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Would that we could all have therapists that bring something out like
that for us.
Exactly. That'd be fantastic. Well, Dr. Westney, thank you very, very, very much. We look forward to hearing you on Saturday night playing the second Rachmaninoff concerto.
Great. Thank you so much, Clint.
Absolutely.
Today's edition of our program will be on our website, kttz.org, later today. Rachel Boyd produces The Front Row. I'm Clint Barrick. Thanks for tuning in and listening.